truth. We are the inheritors of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And therefore, if we are going to be made like unto his son, if we are going to be made conformable to his resurrection, we also have to fulfill all these things. Verse 9, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. So you look at servants, again, slaves. And man, we say, oh, well, slaves ought to be free. Okay, slavery is an evil. But what is more evil is when man is self-serving, self-interest. There's something virtuous in being a slave and obeying and to pleasing them well. Okay, and not answering again. This is according to godliness. Now, I don't want, you know, you're going to let the bitterness of history get in your way? Then let it get in the way. Maybe you should listen to someone who has a little more favorable doctrine for your itching ears. But I'm going to tell you the truth. That when you are a slave and you seek to be free, you are seeking your own. You are seeking the things of the earth. You want to have your life to yourself. But being a Christian is about giving up your life. You can be a better Christian almost when you're under the control of someone else. Not almost, but I mean, there's a sense in which, hey, in that state, you can still serve Christ. It's not like that stops you. It's not like I can't serve Christ till I get free from my slavery. We can serve Christ in whatever state we're in. Not purloining. You know, purloining is to steal from your employer. You know, to take for yourself things that don't belong to you. You know, so to rob your master, your employer. Showing good fidelity, faith. You know why? Because you might win that guy by your Christian behavior. They may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior and all. I mean, you know, let in all things that Christ be not blasphemed. You know, Paul had we don't have slavery in this country, so we don't have to worry about it anymore. I'm not going to look back into history. I've done that before, and I realize I don't want to do that. I want to preach the truth. The truth is, in whatever state you find yourself to be, you can adorn the doctrine of Christ with good things, with good works, with good deeds, in spite of the wickedness of men. See, we're not so supposed to seek our own in spite of others. We're going to say, I need to have my rights. It's very tempting in this country. That's the history of our country. It's like, liberty, my rights, my rights. Jesus had the right to heaven and earth, and he subjected himself to the unjust punishment of men. How much more so should I subject myself to whatever God throws at me? Now hear this. With all gravity, these next verses are so beautiful. They so much teach us about grace and how these things work and what it's supposed to be. Listen carefully. Why do we do all these things? Why should the old men, the young men, the slaves do all these things? The women. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. I take that very personally. Because this is the gospel I preach, that in this present world, we are to live soberly, righteously, and godly. That we are to, in this world, deny ungodliness and worldly lust. That we set aside the sins of the flesh. That we put to death the members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, etc., etc. All sin. Because in Christ there is no sin. In his body there is no sin. When Christ is in you. When his seed remains in you. When you are truly born again. You are born again as a full-grown man. The fullness of the stature of Christ. And what is it? It is the grace of God, the gift of God, God's gift towards us. It teaches us something. What does it teach us? It teaches us that we need to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. this is something so, this is just the total support of everything I say at all times. And honestly, Paul repeats it over and over again, yet people hear it and they don't believe it because they reject the gospel. They cut off themselves from the promises of God. They cut off themselves from the goodness of God, because this is the good news. You can deny ungodliness and worldliness. That's good news. You can live righteously, soberly, and godly. That is the gospel in this present world, not in the afterlife. There is no afterlife. You either live or die. If you are in Christ, you have life. If you are not in Christ, you will die. There is no afterlife. Afterlife is death. If you lose life and you get to the afterlife, you will find that there is nothing there. Blackness of darkness forever. Thoughts perishing. And that very day that he dies, his thoughts perish. So say the scriptures. But the perverseness of men says, no, they go, they float up, they float down, and their spirits wander. As if man, the spirit of man which is in him, is the life that God hath given. But the man himself lays in the ground and waits for the resurrection, or they lay on the ground, or they lay under the sea, whatever. It's the memory of them that God raises. You know, and their bodies, and so on and so forth. And I know there's not much left, okay? And people mock the idea of resurrection because they think, oh, well, there's nothing left. It's going to be just skeletons, or less than skeletons. It's just dust. And what if the fish ate all... I used to ask these questions. What if the fish ate up their bodies? And now what, is God going to take the parts out of the fish? Thou fool, thou sowest not that body which shall be, but bare grain, wheat, corn, doesn't matter. You know, you sow something that's going to be, but what comes is something else. But it's coming out of the ground. I don't know why I got on that, but I guess because of the what? It's the false doctrines, the false teachings of men. Well, because why did I get into that? Because the Spirit led me into that, because that's the very subject we're talking about. The blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. At his appearing, the dead in Christ are going to rise out of the ground. They're not going to come down from heaven. They're going to rise out of the ground. Some people think, oh, their spirits are going to come down from heaven, and they're going to get into their bodies, and their bodies are going to get up. What a bunch of nonsense. If they already were in heaven, they don't need to come back down for anything. They don't, because that's the teaching of Hymenaeus and Philetus, which we learned about in Timothy. Hymenaeus and Philetus taught this heresy, which is rampant in the church today. They taught this heresy that the resurrection has already come. Even now, the people are rising. Even now, they're rising into heaven. They're with God already. That's a lie.